Now watch here. You've got the princes in the text around this prince that made the 70th week covenant are all principalities. They're all spirit princes. So now people are expecting this man to show up. Mm-hmm. Well, another major mistake, because this, the one that's going to make the covenant is not a human. Now, there are the people of the prince that shall come, through whom he's going to make the covenant and with whom he's going to make the covenant. Okay, chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. So we have a prince. You know, Israel has a prince, both natural and now spiritual. Israel has a prince, and it's Michael. You know, Michael is a prince from heaven over a body that's inhabited by Christ the King. Notice princes have kings, right? And the beast is a prince from the abyss over a body that's inhabited by Satan, the king. Everything, here's what I want to point out to you. Everything that is Antichrist is the opposite of Christ. It's a depiction of, it's a picture of, but it's the opposite. He copies everything that the Lord has done. Okay. So now we've got a prince and we've got a king. And they've got a prince and they've got a king. Okay. I'm not going to go real deeply into this, but you can go into Hidden Manna for the End Times, which is a book that I've been working on. It's on my site, americaslastdays.com. But I go very deeply into all of this, give a lot more proof. If you want to go there, you can look at the... I'm not going to go real deeply into it. I just want to kind of skim across the top a little bit, you see. Actually, in Revelation 9 and 1, Satan is cast out of heaven, and he opens the pit, and guess who comes up out of the pit? No, this prince is coming up out of the pit. You know why? Because his empire was smitten unto death. The Roman Empire was smitten unto death. What happens to the spirit of a man when he dies? If you're talking about a lost man, he goes to the pit, right? Well, here's the spirit that ruled over the Roman Empire. Now, I know he ruled over a lot of other spirits that ruled over the Roman Empire, but the Bible says that this Roman Empire is going to be restored. It was smitten unto death, but it's going to be restored. So in Revelation 9 and 1, Satan is cast out of heaven. And what's he do? The first thing he does is open the pit and let Apollyon out with hordes of demons to flood on the earth. Who is this Apollyon? He's the king of the abyss. He's Satan's favorite principality that ruled during the Roman Empire and will rule again. The principality of the old Roman Empire will return from the abyss to rule the world once again in a revived Roman Empire of all nations. And he's going to do this through the end-time covenant with many, the people of the prince, the people of the prince that shall come. Okay. Revelation 17 and 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss. There he is, right there. That's the principality of the Roman Empire that is going to take the reins of the kingdom. I'm talking about Satan's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it says he's going to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. You know what perdition is? It's the word apaleia. The sons of perdition. Apaleia. He's going to enter into the sons of perdition. Apaleia. Now you got Apollyon entering into apaleia. The same root word. Well, that's very interesting. And we got the legs of Daniel's vision that show us that from the thighs on down, the Roman Empire, the iron and the clay, the iron goes all the way down to the toes, and it's only separated in the toes by the clay. See, now watch. So we do have a revived Roman Empire. Daniel's revelation tells us so very plainly. And who is going to be the spirit, the head, the leading spirit of that revived Roman Empire under Satan? It's going to be the principality of Rome. Who's going to make the covenant? He is. The sixth head, you know, there's Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. The sixth head, Rome, is being revived in stages in the seventh and eighth heads. The seventh head is the dragon kingdom with seven heads and ten horns. And, of course, the dragon, according to Revelation chapter 12, is inhabited by a spirit from the abyss, Satan, right? and it's called Satan. Satan inhabits the whole body of lost humanity. The seven-headed, ten-horned dragon, Satan, he is the father of that whole gang. Everybody outside of Christ, you know.
Right.
So he rules the whole world. He's the god of this world. They worship him. Revelation 12 and 9 says, the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of what? The whole world. Mm-hmm. Everybody outside of Christ is deceived by Satan. And Satan is inhabiting the body of the whole world. We're seeing that. Okay. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. As you know, the beast of Revelation 13 follows the dragon beast of Revelation 12. And the dragon gave him his authority. Matter of fact, when he was cast down out of heaven in Revelation 9 and 1, he opened the pit, called him out, called forth all of his demons with him to rule over the world. Now, Revelation 13 and 1, it says, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having ten horns and seven heads. And verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads, that's Rome, the sixth head, as though it had been smitten unto death. People are still talking about this as though it was a man. It's struck in the head, dies, and is resurrected. How silly can you get? Just read the text. I mean, it doesn't fit anything. Have you ever seen a man with seven heads and ten horns?
No.
Seven heads and ten horns are all of humanity. The seven heads, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and now revived Rome in two stages, the seventh and eighth. And the seed of those kingdoms is all of humanity. And if you don't believe that, the ten horns are the ten continental divisions of all of the earth. We're talking about a covenant with the whole world. We're not talking about a covenant between a man. Oh, it's a man, all right. We'll see that. We're not talking about a covenant between a physical man and Israel. See, it's been totally missed by the great prophecy teachers because they haven't heard from God. They're just passing on their tradition. So, he says, and I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast. The whole earth. Well, how can the beast, the body of the beast, be the whole earth? Well, how can the body of Christ worship him? See, people say, well, the whole earth is worshiping the beast in Revelation 13. They all worship the beast. Everyone whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life worships the beast in Revelation 13. Well, how can they be the beast if they're worshiping the beast? Well, how can you be the body of Christ if you worship him then? See, we worship him, and we are members of his body. They worship the beast, and they are members of his body. Christ and Antichrist, they are opposite. Anti means opposite, you see.
Yeah.
So you want to know what the beast kingdom looks like? It's a body of people, just like the body of Christ. We're both one world empires, the body of Christ and the body of the beast. Two one world empires, two men, two spiritual men. The whole earth wandered after this beast. This fully restored Roman Empire is going to be the eighth head. It's going to be restored in stages, just like we're going to look at this, probably not this time, maybe next time. Covenant of that's about to be made is going to be a replacement of the UN Constitution. It's going to be the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. It's going to replace it. It's already been designed and everything. Everything has already behind the scenes been done, folks. We're just waiting for the manifestation of it. This next war is going to force that manifestation of it. Okay? So, but right now, the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth and is of the seven. Revelation 17:11. Watch. See how neatly this fits? The beast that was, that's Rome, and is not, is himself also an eighth, and is of the seven. Why is he of the seven? Now, you know that the spirit is of the seven because it comes from the sixth. But how is the body of the seventh? Because all humanity is going to be in the last Roman Empire. Go down to the toes. Look at the toes of Daniel's vision. It was the iron and the clay. Everybody at that time in history is in the toes. The iron and the clay. And, of course, the iron represents the original Roman Empire, but the clay represents peoples who were never a part of the original Roman Empire. Okay? And everyone's going to be in that last Roman Empire. Everybody that's not born of God is going to be in this last one-world Roman Empire. The demon prince will rule under Satan, but over the body of Antichrist, in the same way that Jesus rules under the Father, but over the body of Christ. In both cases, two rule one body. Satan impersonates God. Now, did you know that Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life"? When he spoke those words to his disciples, those words which were spirit and life went into them and recreated in them the spirit of Christ. Recreated in them. If you hearken unto the voice of the Lord, his words recreate in you his spirit. What about Antichrist? Same thing, folks. If you listen to the voice of Antichrist, that will create in you his spirit. Mm-hmm. The sons of God and the sons of devil are coming to perfection at the same time. And there's about to be a war.
Yeah.
The Antichrist spirit from the abyss joins in covenant all of the lost. The Spirit of Christ from heaven joins in covenant all of the saved. Just as Christ is a life-giving spirit from heaven inhabiting a corporate body, the Antichrist is a spirit from the abyss inhabiting a corporate body. You see, everything is equal but opposite. Okay?
Right.
If you look in 1 John 4 and 1, I want to give you a revelation of who this beast is, because you're going to miss it if you think it's some handsome fella. You know? I'm pointing out to you that this beast is worldwide. 1 John 4 and 1. Now listen carefully. It is the Word of God. You don't have to believe what men have told you. All you have to believe is what the Word says. I've practiced this for years. I don't care what people say. I want to see it in the Word. I want to see proof. Okay?
Right.
1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about proving the spirits in men. Watch. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So he's talking about judging the spirits of men. He's not talking about these spirits floating around in the atmosphere, you know. He's talking about how do you judge the spirit of a person. Okay, verse 2. Every spirit, again, he's talking about in man, that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit. He didn't say flesh confessing. You know, they draw near me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can say things that are not true.
Right.
But a man's spirit will eventually confess to you who he really is.
Oh, you bet.
Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come, not has come. We're not talking about did Jesus come in the flesh. It isn't saying that in the verse at all. It's talking present tense. This was a long time after Jesus came in the flesh, died, and received a glorified body. So watch carefully. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. What is he talking about? If someone's spirit confesses to you that Jesus lives in them, that is the Spirit of Christ. And that is of God. Now watch very carefully, just the opposite here. Okay? Verse 3. And every spirit, notice, every spirit, that's all of the spirits. Listen, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice, the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. We're talking about a corporate spirit here. He said every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is the spirit of the Antichrist.
Right.
You know that all lost mankind out there has in them the spirit of the Antichrist. That's a corporate spirit. Then he goes on to say, whereof you have heard that it cometh. Well, they kind of heard the same thing we heard, right? You heard that it cometh, but now it's in the world already. So you're expecting Antichrist to come, folks, but he's already here. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Notice this, he's talking about two different people here. You and them, right? And have overcome them, because greater is, listen, he that is in you, that is Christ, than he that is in the world, that is Antichrist. Well, there you have it, folks. You only have two corporate spirits here. He that's in you, he that's in the world. That's two corporate spirits. Does this sound different from what you've heard from the people that only speak the letter? Well, it's because God hid it on purpose. Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, I said in my heart, it's because of the sons of men, that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are beasts. Verse 19, they have all, A-L-L. That doesn't leave anybody out, right? They have all one breath. Same Hebrew word for spirit. The beasts of the world have one spirit. And who is the beast? It is lost humanity. Lost humanity has one spirit. It's from the pit. They were born from beneath. They're of their father, the devil. So where is the spirit that is rising up in lost humanity? From the pit, from the abyss. And Ecclesiastes goes on to say, and man has no preeminence above the beast. See, some people say, well, man is a higher creation. False. Lost man is not a higher creation than the beast. He is a beast just like all the rest of the beasts out there. The Bible says so. He has no preeminence above the beast whatsoever. He is a beast. And Matthew 24:40, then shall two men be in the field. What did Jesus say the field was in Matthew 13 in his parables? He said the field was a world. Then shall two men be in the world. One is taken, one is left. Well, you mean there's only two people on earth? That's right. There's only two people. We just read it very plainly in 1 John. There's only two people in the earth, two corporate bodies of people. You know, when you step into the New Testament, God starts talking to corporate bodies. Jesus came in the end of the Old Covenant, but as soon as the covenant was cut, Jesus became a corporate body. The body of Christ is in the earth today. Now, is the physical Jesus coming? Of course, he's coming back. Okay, but we're talking spirit here. Jesus became a corporate body called the body of Christ. Jesus left an individual body to come back in a corporate body so he could minister to New Testament Israel, which is worldwide. When he first came, he came to minister to little Israel, which is not worldwide. But he knew that Israel was changing. It was now a worldwide Israel and needed a worldwide beast to bring them to their cross, just like little Israel had an individual beast kingdom, Rome, to bring them to their cross. Now, God is raising up a worldwide Rome because now he's got a worldwide Israel.
Yeah.
And so Jesus has a body that's worldwide. There's only two people in the earth, Jesus said. They're Christ and they're Antichrist. There's only two people. We see here that two men shall be in the field, one is taken and one is left. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:28, you are one man in Christ. Galatians 3:28. It also says in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, that's only two people. We're talking Christ and we're talking Antichrist.
You're either on one side of the fence or the other.
You're either for me or against. What is against? Anti.
Yeah.
Matthew 12:30. He that's not with me, that is Christ, is against me. That is Antichrist.
Right.
Now, when you talk about this beast body, the Bible is very plain, very plain. What this covenant is going to be like. It's going to be a covenant with his body. Does Jesus have a covenant with his worldwide body? Yes. Does the Antichrist going to have a covenant with his worldwide body? Yes. A covenant with many, his worldwide body. No, it's not just with Israel. It's not determined on natural Israel. It's determined. The problem is, in the Old Testament, when God's people made a covenant with the world, it always offended God highly. It was an abomination unto him for his people to make a covenant with the world. Now listen, folks, it's still true. God's still highly offended when his people make a covenant with the world. What do you think this covenant's going to look like? See, the beast is trying to include God's people in his world covenant, just as Christ is trying to include all of his people in his covenant. The beast is trying to include God's people in his covenant. That's highly offensive to God. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. It doesn't matter if natural Israel makes a covenant with the beast. He's not offended with that because they're not born again and they're not New Testament Israel. It is the church that God is highly offended if they make a covenant with the beast. It's them that can have an abomination that makes desolate. The natural Jews are already desolate. I hope you're following me.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's look at the scope of this beast body. You know, after the first two world-ruling kingdoms, that was Egypt and Assyria, Daniel came along with the revelation of the next six kingdoms. And he brought it all in one vision in Daniel chapter 2 and 31. Daniel 2 and 31 says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image." Folks, this is the image of the beast. A great image. "This image, which was mighty, and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the aspect thereof was terrible. And as for this image, its head was of fine gold," which was, of course, Babylon, "its breast and iron, and arms of silver," which was Media Persia, "its belly and its thighs of brass," which was Greece, "and its legs of iron," which is Rome, "and its feet part of iron and part of clay," which is revived Rome. Okay? And that's, of course, going to be revived in the seventh and eighth beast. Okay? So, we've got eight world-ruling kingdoms, and everyone under them is represented in one kingdom today called the United Nations. It's the only world-ruling kingdom. It's the only kingdom that has seven heads and ten horns. The only one. So these are all in the United Nations today. Now, what we just looked at was the common historical view of Daniel's vision here. Historical meaning it came to pass over the time of history. You understand that all of these kingdoms are still with us. And all of their seed is still with us. Today, these same kingdoms are with us in their seed. They didn't pass away. They're still with us. Okay. So if you look at this in the end time, because there is an end time view, the Bible very plainly tells us in the text, it says, "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he hath made known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." Wow, you mean this is a historic revelation and also an end-time revelation? Exactly so. This is both a historical revelation and an end-time revelation, because we're going to have the image of the beast today. And you know what it is? It's made up of the seed of all lost humanity. It's made up of the seed of all of these previous kingdoms. They're still alive. They didn't die. Their dominion was taken away, Daniel said, but their lives were prolonged. Did you hear what I said? These kingdoms are still alive. The seed of these kingdoms are still with us. Their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. That's what Daniel said. So they're still with us today. All of them are with us today. And where are they? They're all in the UN. All seven heads and all ten horns are in the UN right now. Getting ready to make their covenant.
Yeah.
Okay? So, this end time view, of course, the characters are different. If you look, for instance, Daniel said that that Nebuchadnezzar in his kingdom was the head of gold. Right? He was Babylon. He was the great eagle. That was the head of the kingdom, the head of the image of the beast, Babylon, the great eagle. Who's the great eagle today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel gave this same revelation in Daniel chapter 7. He gave the same beast in Daniel chapter 7, the lion with eagles. Wings, which was Babylon, is now the United States and Britain and the British Empire, the larger British Empire, okay? But it was superseded by the bear, the Medo-Persian bear, which is Russia. Russia's going to conquer the United States. You see, the same thing is going to happen in the end time as happened over history. This is wars that are going to happen. Russia's going to conquer the United States. It's going to be conquered, so on and so forth. These are wars. These are battles in the end time one world order that is going to tear it all to pieces. That's what these are. These are battles. Okay? And I don't want to get stuck there because I'm still talking about this, the Beast Covenant. Okay? So he's revealed what's going to happen in the latter times. Well, the traditional EU beast theory, because that's all it is a theory. It's no good. It was made up by men that weren't filled with the Spirit and didn't hear anything from God. The EU is, of course, attempting to bring the revived Roman Empire over there in the same geographical location that the Roman Empire was at the thighs of Daniel's vision. Not down at the toes, at the thighs. They're trying to reconstitute the Roman Empire in its original territory. Can't be done. And we're talking about the toes a long time later, which is split between East and West. You see, what they're trying to build has nothing to do with what's being built. It's not the EU, folks. It's the UN. The EU cannot possibly have the seven heads and ten horns of all nations in it. The UN does. The UN is just a smaller type. The EU is just a smaller type of the larger type. Okay? Like America is a smaller Babylon, but world Babylon is the whole world because it all came from Babel. The whole world came from Babel. You see, there are larger and smaller types. So the EU is a smaller type. It's not the ultimate fulfillment. Daniel 2:41 says, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom." In other words, it's not going to all be stuck in one place anymore. It's a divided kingdom. Verse 43 says, "And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men."
Yeah.
So you're not talking about a pure blood Roman Empire anymore, although it never really was that. You know, it was many, many different nationalities, you know. He said they would mingle themselves with the seed of men, the iron and the clay. Listen, "But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron does not mingle with clay." They shall not cleave one to another. In other words, the original iron is going to be now separated throughout the world in ten toes by the clay. Clay being, of course, those nationalities and peoples that were not part of the original Roman Empire. They're going to be separated. At the bottom of the image of the beast, there are ten toes down there. That's a worldwide ten toes. An east and a west. Did you know that the world has been divided between east and west? And we, of course, here in America, are part of the Western Roman Empire. We are the seed of the Western Roman Empire to a large extent. But there are also East Bloc countries that are seed of the Eastern Roman Empire. The whole world, if you follow the languages of the original Roman Empire, guess where they went? They covered the globe. When you follow the languages, you know what you're doing? You're following the seed of the original Roman Empire around the globe. See, the Roman Empire today is worldwide. The only thing separating it is the clay. You can't put it back in its original place at the thighs. It will never go back there. We're down at the toes. Toes, as you know, are separate. Okay? So toes are ten kings. Why ten kings? Because the Constitution for the Federation of Earth has declared that they're going to redivide the earth into continental divisions. The whole earth is ten kings. Ten kingdoms that are throughout the whole earth are going to rule in the UN. It's just a change of government in the UN. That's all it is. And it's coming very, very soon. But listen, watch. The whole earth is in the body of the last beast, which is the United Nations. Daniel 7:23 says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth." Now Daniel started with Babylon. He didn't start with Egypt and Assyria. He started with Babylon. So when he's talking fourth kingdom, we're talking sixth kingdom. And the book of Revelation is talking sixth kingdom. See, that was wrong. So when he says the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, that's the sixth kingdom, that's Rome, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. Why? It shall devour the whole earth. Oh, how about that now? Okay, that's not the EU, is it? Obviously not. Why is it different from all the kingdoms? Because now you're talking about a corporate kingdom, not an individual kingdom. Rome was an individual kingdom.
Right.
But now it's a corporate kingdom. That's like Christ was an individual Christ, but now he's a corporate Christ. You understand? God follows patterns.
Right.
If you go in the Old Testament and you see this principle often, for instance, God called Esau Edom. After Esau had been dead for centuries, he continued to call his corporate body Edom.
Edom.
And Moab was an individual, but as centuries went by, the corporate seed that was multiplying and multiplying and multiplying were called Moab.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the Old Testament, God taught us this principle. Now, let me tell you, when you come into the New Testament, you have to understand the corporate body principle. You're changing from individuals to corporate bodies. And empires also are multiplied. The Roman Empire that crucified the man-child, Jesus, is not the same Roman Empire that's going to crucify the man-child in our day. The man-child in our day is multiplied to a great number of people. And the Roman Empire is now worldwide and multiplied to a greater number of people. And the harlot in our day is much greater than it was in Jesus' day. And the false prophet in our day is a great number of people. A great number of people. Okay? I don't have time to prove all this to you, but it's a fact, and it's written in the Word in the black and white. It's just that people's eyes are blinded to it. So, the whole world lieth in the evil one. All of these people are in the dragon. All of them are members of the devil's body. He said that this last kingdom, which was different from all the kingdoms, why was Rome different? Because Rome became a corporate kingdom. The rest of them did not. It became a corporate kingdom, and it devoured, I quote, the whole earth. Okay? And people think that's through war. No, it's not through war. It's through peace that it's devouring the whole earth. Oh, it's going to trample down the earth because this one world order is going to, anybody that steps out of line, I mean, they're going to reach out and slap them, you know? So, watch. All of fallen mankind is in this image of the beast that he saw. All those world-ruling kingdoms, by the way, every one of them conquered Israel. Can you imagine that God raised up every one of those ruling kingdoms to conquer Israel, and now he's raising up a corporate body of all ruling kingdoms, of all kingdoms, and the seed of all of those kingdoms, he's raising up in a corporate body today in order to conquer New Testament Israel. Are they going to fly away and escape the beast? It's never happened before. It's not going to happen now.
Right.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie from the false prophets of the New Testament. The peace and safety false prophets of the New Testament. That's the same thing they've lied about all the way through the Bible. The same lie. It's the same lie. Well, all of fallen mankind is in this last beast. And Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70, which is, of course, 60. Did you know that 60 is the gematria for earth? If you take the Greek word earth and you add up the Greek letters, which were also used for numbers, you come up with 60. So 70 is the number of the earth. So whose height was 70 cubits. This is the measure of all of the earth. And whose breadth thereof is 6. Which is what? The number of man. It's the number of the beast. The beasts were created on the sixth day, and man was created on the sixth day. So you got 60 and 6 there. We're looking at the scope of this beast, right? I mean, he's giving us the measurements, but it's really the scope of how big the beast is. Okay? So watch. He set it up in the plain of Dura. Well, Dura means circle or dwelling. You can look it up. It means both of those things, circle and dwelling. What is a circle in which man dwells in? It is the earth. The the gematria for the world is 600. So in this very text, in Daniel 3 and 1, you got 666. And what is it? It is the scope of the image of the beast. And what are we finding it is? Notice, it is all nations. It is all world ruling empires in one man. One man, like Jesus said. One Antichrist man. Okay, now, if you want to find Antichrist in the Old Testament, when he's an individual, that's fine. But when you come into the New Testament, again, you're talking about a corporate body here. And Jesus himself was. The Roman Empire's multiplied. Judas is now a great number of people. The son of perdition is hidden in the temple of God. And the word there for temple is not used in the New Testament for an individual building. It's used in the New Testament for the people of God. Judas is a corporate body hidden in the people of God today. He's hidden and he's going to be revealed. Okay, so we're talking corporate bodies here. The gematria for all of the beast kingdom is 666. And it's what? It's the number of a man. What man? The one Jesus talked about. There are two men. The whole world lieth in the evil one. All of the seed of the sons of the devil are banding together against the seed of the children of God. What is this saying, this 666? Well, we notice earth is 60, man is 6, and world is 600. So men who are in the world and earthly and are of the fallen creation, number 6, man, are 666. The words, by the way, in John 1 and 9, the words in the world, you know what they come up to? Gematria? 666. If you add up the gematria in the world, it's 666. See, God's hidden some awesome things in this word, and he's hidden it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes, people that don't know any better. You know, in Daniel 3 and 7, it says, all the peoples, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image. All of the people. What were they worshipping? They were worshipping their nation. They were worshipping their kingdom. You know how all of the people of the United States pledge allegiance to the flag?
Yeah.
There were members of that nation that they worship. You catching the parallel here? This is a patriotism the whole world is going to have towards the image of the beast. Finally, who can make war with the beast? Because he's the whole world. They think this is going to bring peace. Because now he's become one man. Look at Christianity. It's so splintered, you know, but it's about to become one man. Do you understand that? Real Christianity is going to become one man. They shall become one flock, one shepherd. So while we're coming to unity, guess what? The devil's people are too. Why do you think there's going to be such a great war here? They're going to come to one mind. And it's going to be to crucify those Christians. Well, we don't see the United Nations Beast Covenant anywhere else but in the United Nations. And now we're seeing it as a religious covenant. First we saw it as a secular covenant. Now we're seeing it as a religious covenant. Did you notice that? Because they all fell down and worshipped the image of the beast. All the peoples, nations, and languages. That's a one world religious order in a one world secular order. You see that? So, when you're talking about the covenant, you're not talking about some man making a covenant with Israel, because it doesn't even say that in the text. It does not say that. It talks specifically about a principality over Rome making a covenant with many. Who is the many? Well, they say, well, that's Israel. No, if it was Israel, he could have said Israel there, couldn't he? The problem is that Jews fell down and worshipped this golden image in Daniel 3 and 7. All but the three Hebrews fell down and worshipped the golden image. Wow! You're talking about a great falling away, yes. You're talking about a lot of people taking the mark of the beast, yes. People that call themselves Christians, yes. People who become members of this body of the beast, yes. We're getting a bigger and bigger picture of this covenant, aren't we? Well, Revelation 17:1 says, the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Well, watch. I saw a woman, verse 3, sitting upon the scarlet-colored beast. Have you noticed that there's a parallel vision? The woman sitting on the waters, and now she's sitting on the beast. And the beast is having 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, verse 15 says, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The harlot is ruling over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. She's sitting on top of the beast. Who is the beast? The same as the waters. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The seven-headed, ten-horned beast is peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. It's a parallel revelation here. He's showing us to us real plain. The words, where the harlot sitteth. The gematria for that is 666. Now you know why so many names out there come up to 666. Kissinger and the Pope and Prince Charles. And, you know,
yeah.
You know what, folks? The whole world lieth in the evil one.
Yeah.
What God is showing you is it's not any individual man that's the 666. It's the corporate man that's the 666. Exactly what the Bible specifically says in 1 John. Everyone whose spirit does not confess Christ. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Everyone. Okay? Well, Revelation 13 and 18. Here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666 is the number of a man. The corporate Antichrist beast. Have you ever looked at the sixth chapter of the sixth book, the sixth verse in the New Testament? It's Romans 6 and 6. And it says, knowing this, that our old man is the sixth word even, was crucified with him. Man is the beast, folks. Just as Solomon, the wise man, once said, every man is as a beast. Man is the beast. The sixth chapter, the sixth book, the sixth verse, and the sixth word is man. You know, some complain that the beast could not be, the body of the beast could not be the whole earth because he's separated from the kings and their armies whose flesh is killed in Revelation 19. Revelation 19 says, in verse 20 says, and the beast was taken, and it goes on to say, and he was cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, even the sword which came forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. But we noticed that the body of lost humanity has a spirit that came from the pit, and it can be thrown back. Daniel 7 and 11 says, I beheld until I saw the beast was slain. You know, the beast is going to be slain. A great civil war is going to destroy this beast. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, God gives credit to the saints for devouring and destroying the kingdom of the beast.
How did they do that, David?
Because of the word that's coming out of their mouth, and because of their testimony, and because they love not their life unto the death. They're going to conquer this beast. They're going to destroy the kingdom of the world, like Moses. He destroyed Egypt.
They do it on a spiritual level?
Yes, on a spiritual level. The curses that fall in the book of Revelation are the same ones that fell in the book of Exodus. The judgments that fell upon Egypt was a type of the world. Guess where they came from? They came out of the mouth of God's people. Moses and Aaron spoke those judgments that destroyed Egypt. You know, Pharaoh's counselor said, don't you know Egypt is destroyed? He says, come on now, figure it out here, you know. Well, where did that come from? It came right out of the mouth of Moses. Well, you know what? Same thing's fixing to happen. The judgments in the book of Revelation are coming out of the mouth of the man-child, just like they came out of the mouth of Moses. The white horse rider, folks, isn't the Antichrist, and it isn't Christ. The first judgment in the book of Revelation is not either one of those. It is the man-child ministry. The white horse rider is going to fire forth his arrows. That is, it's the same thing as when Jesus sent forth his two witnesses, two by two, in every place he was to come. The Man-Child Ministry is going to raise up a corporate body of two witnesses to go throughout the whole earth, and they are going to shake this world. They're going to tear down. They and the people they train are going to tear down the kingdom of the beast. Listen to what it says. I beheld until the beast was slain and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. When a man dies on the earth, when an individual man dies on the earth, what happens? Its body is destroyed on earth,
right. But
it is thrown in the fire. So we're talking about the same thing when we talk about a corporate man. The beast's body, which is the world-ruling empires that are going to be warring against one another, that body is going to be slain on earth, but it, that is the spirit inside, is going to be thrown in the lake of fire. So why did God write it that way? He wrote it that way because it's very plainly talking about a corporate body, and because he wanted to hide these things from the wise and prudent, but reveal them unto babes. And I have a whole lot more to say to you about this, and I'm going to give you a lot more proof of what this covenant looks like, both religious and secular, but I think I'll save that for another day.
Okay.
And we can look at history, how history proves exactly what I'm saying, because God just repeats history. That's all he does.
You know, before we close, David, you know, in the scriptures where it tells us that there's nothing new under the sun?
Yes.
And you know, you've mentioned types and shadows. Well, if there were something new under the sun, there would be no types and shadows.
That's right.
And history could not repeat itself.
That's right.
You know, so everything about Scripture, it backs everything up. I mean, it one statement over here, if you understand it, you can look over there and find something to, you know, to back it up.
Yeah,
it's all truth.
Scripture has to be interpreted with Scripture. Nobody else has the wisdom to do it. You have to go back and find out where it's happened before, because history just keeps repeating the things that have been and the things that shall be. God's, the first time God departs from repeating history, he's lied. He can't do that.
Right.
You know? And he's not, and doesn't have any interest in doing that. The reason he repeats history is to show us the things to come. The types and the shadows are multiplied, you know, as history. So think about this. Those individual kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
on that end of history, what do they look like on this end of history?
Yeah,
it's a massive group of people.
Yeah.
Massive group of people.
Yeah.
See, and so history keeps repeating. It just repeats with larger groups of people. It's like the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, everything that happened in the Gospels in the book of Acts was going to happen again, except the cast of characters is going to be multiplied many times over.
Right.
See, you go back to Jesus' time, first of all, he was an individual. Then he was multiplied. He said, except the seed fall into the earth and die, it abides alone. But when he died, he brought forth much fruit. He was multiplied. The Roman Empire died. But guess what? They're all over the world now.
Yeah.
The Sanhedrin, which was the false prophet over Judaism.
Right.
Guess what? We still got that over Christianity, because they were a type and a shadow for the New Testament Jews. The Christians, you see.
Yeah.
So we still got a corporate body of the false prophet in the pulpits out there, just like they did. And the harlot of Judaism, it's multiplied many times over today in the harlot of Christianity. See, everything that happened in that scene, in that scenario around Jesus, is now happening again, except it's multiplied many times over. It's just a repetition of history. So if you figure out history, you know what's going to happen. And the first thing you're going to figure out is, I've been lied to.
Yeah.
I've been lied to by people that didn't know what they were doing and weren't sent by God at all.
You know, and how many times have we heard, even in school, you know, history repeats itself. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, we are at the end of this particular segment, and I thank you so much for being so gracious to share this time with us, David.
My pleasure.
Hold on a minute. You can reach David Elves at America's lastdays.com. And David, tell them about your study group before we close.
Well, we have a very unusual study group. We're broadcasting over shortwave, AM, FM, satellite, and PAL Talk,
mm-hmm.
and internet. And so we have two meetings every week, one on Sunday and one on Wednesday at 7:30 Central Time. And we go for about 3 hours and 15, 20 minutes. And people join us. They join us over the internet, or they join us by broadcast, or they join us over PAL Talk. And sometimes they talk to us. You know, if they got a mic over PAL Talk, they can talk to us and share testimonies. And so we have a worldwide congregation here.
Yeah.
And it's the neatest thing you've ever seen, folks. We've got people joining us from Australia and Pakistan and Africa. And just
all over the world.
It's real neat. It's really neat. The Lord designed this for us. He really did. It's very exciting what the Lord's doing. And suddenly, He's getting these revelations out all over the world.
Yeah.
This is the time, folks. This is the time when God is going to reveal things that were hidden from the foundation of the world. No man can take credit for it. It's not man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And He only reveals it to the babes. That's not the wise and prudent, right? That's the babes. So He's revealing it unto babes. He can reveal it to other people, and it's spreading all over the world suddenly. Just like when Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus came on the scene, He opened His mouth and He shared things that were hidden from the foundation of the world. He shared the unleavened bread
mm-hmm.
with the people of God. He told them to beware of the leaven of religion, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod, which was government, you know, worship of nations and presidents and people like that, you know.
Yeah.
Beware of that, you know. And so we got the same thing. It's about to happen, folks. The man-child ministry is going to be exactly like Jesus' ministry, revealing things that were hidden from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
A great revelation is about to go forth, and people are going to be caused to stand up and be strong because of that revelation and because of the latter rain anointing. So these are great days we're coming to.
And He is raising up men out there to usher in His kingdom.
Right.
You know.
Exciting days.
Absolutely. These days, all of us who are alive, what a blessing it is, because we are going to be witnessing the demise of the reign of,
mm-hmm.
of Satan, you know, and the grip he's had on the world.
And the church returning to the being the church, the called out ones, you know.
Amen.
So, exciting days.
Okay, folks, we will be back with another segment. David has promised us that he would continue this teaching on the covenant, and that will be happening soon. It'll be posted. And God bless all of you listening out there, and study. Spend time alone, quiet, in prayer, and seek the face of the Lord. This is Georgianne Hughes with David Ells, signing off.